report cards came out today. Denver Broncos got their report card of basically, I don't know, like it's an overall thing. Treatment of families, how their organization treats families, food service, nutrition, weight room, strength coaches, training room, training staff, locker room, team travel. That all came out. I'll be honest, Angel. I didn't. This is the first time I've ever caught this.
Well, it's brand new.
It is.
This is the first time they've done this.
So we're giving teams report cards.
Yep.
For how
they're done
they
by the players.
Okay. Wow.
Or the NFLPA asked the players to.
What if they're disgruntled players? Like, are they current on the roster currently, or they can only vote on their team if they were part of the team last year? What if they're cut or whatever? Like, does that change how their voting thing happens here? Yeah, go ahead.
So 1,300 of our players provided information to share with one another about their current club to not only help them make important career decisions, but also help raise standards across the leagues. Our goal was to highlight positive clubs, identify areas that could use improvement, and highlight best practices and standards.
Well, the Broncos aren't faring too well in this. They're ranked 20th. In their overall team guide, the survey results that show 100% of player respondents believe that the new ownership group is willing to invest in upgrading the facilities. That's good, at least. One example is the club's decision to replace the playing surface at the end of the season, despite it being the last home game of the year. Most of the feedback received in this report card deal focused on services available to players as opposed to any serious complaints about the club's facilities. This shows up in the areas of how the club treats the players, families, as well as a repeated complaint about the food and dietitian services. They are one of the only two teams that do not offer vitamins to their players, and respondents felt that there is no customized plan for a player's nutrition. Is that why they're getting hurt all the time? I feel like we've
learned a little bit about the insides of the NFL with these report cards. I saw the Arizona Cardinals, if you wanted to eat a meal at their facility, it would come out of your paycheck.
These kind of things might start impacting free agency.
Yep.
You know, obviously guys want to go win. They want to go places they can win. They want to make good money. But if it's all the same and they're on like a, if they're signing between like the Cardinals and the Broncos right now or whatever, they might look at that and go, who's going to treat me better?
Right. Yeah, these are the things that they have to, you know, interact with every single day. You know, if the training staff is, you know, training staff is great, but our workout area isn't that great, or our treatment area is not that good. So whatever the training staff is doing, it gets limited by our facility.
Well, let's have some fun with this. You have the Dolphins?
Yes.
Up. You know, you're a Dolphins guy. Obviously, we're all Broncos people. Let's go through the report card here. Treatment of families. The Broncos tied for 24th on this. D+. Although they treated Sierra really well, but nobody else, I guess. Yeah. So this is based on just the last year?
I believe so.
Okay. So the Broncos, D+ on that. They passed, but not in college. I wouldn't pass in college, right? You got to get a C.
Yeah, the Dolphins for treatment of families got a C+, tied for 18th.
Better. Average.
Their reasoning was they did not offer, or they offered limited passes to the post-game area for family members.
But see, with the Broncos, it said they offer daycare, and one of 14 teams that do not offer a family room. So there's no family room.
What's
the family room? Is that a gigantic living room or something?
I guess it's a lounge of some kind where the players' families can
just kind of hang out. Okay, well, they do offer daycare, but they're one of them that do not offer a family room. Food service and nutrition. The Broncos got a D on that.
Dolphins got an A.
Wow, they're feeding them well there.
All three meals provided.
Wow. Broncos, all three meals are provided. One of only two teams to not provide vitamins.
I feel like that's an important aspect of nutrition.
Can you buy like the little Flintstone vitamins or something like that, man?
Well, for these guys, you probably have to eat the whole container just to get the nutrition out of it.
Dude, why aren't the Broncos providing vitamins? Mr. Walmart runs the team. You can get them at Walmart.
There's a whole section for them.
Come on.
You got to go talk to the person behind the counter sometimes.
Yes. Multiple players don't feel like there is individualized nutrition plan or support. I mean, I don't know, man. That could be why they're getting hurt all the time. So you got to eat right. Weight room. Broncos did well here. Got a B plus for that in the weight room.
Dolphins got an A plus.
Oh, wow. Dolphins are doing it right over there, man.
They were second overall in these report cards behind the Vikings.
Now, is it possible for everybody to get straight A's? What if everybody gets straight A's? Because it's all voted on by former. They could all do well here.
Then we grade on a curve.
Yes. Weight room for Denver was a B plus. 98% feel like they have enough strength coaches. We've got enough coaches telling us how to get strong. So most of the issues brought up by players were related to wanting more space within the weight room, which I have heard that in Denver with their facility, that it's up close to the road, so they can't really expand outwardly. They can only expand up, which would make it strange if you can work out, do bench here, but the ellipticals are upstairs and all that stuff. Might be why they didn't get an A.
Maybe some room on the second floor.
Yeah, maybe. Put something in. Strength coaches, A minus. Denver got an A here. That's good.
Dolphins, A plus.
Their average so far is pretty good. When asked about strength coaches adding to their success, the Broncos ranked tied for 17th in the NFL. Wow. Sounds average, but an A is pretty good. So 17th. Like, you see 17th, though. That's why this is kind of misleading. You got to be careful with it. Because if I were to just tell you the Broncos ranked 17th in this, you'd go, yeah, they're kind of in the middle of the road as far as strength coaches and all these other things. But I'm going off of their letter grade. If they're given an A, then that's good. I don't care if it's 17th or not. There must be a lot of A pluses. But if you get an A minus, whatever, you're doing a good job. If you get a B plus, you're doing a good job.
Yeah.
Training room kind of goes back to what I was just talking about. It's tied for 17th also, but this time it's a C plus. What are the Dolphins?
A plus.
Just rolling. Rolling right through.
Staffing, steam room / sauna and hot tubs and cold tubs.
There's a steam room for Denver, but 86% feel that it is big enough. Okay, that's good. One of only six teams across the league to not provide a sauna. So there is no sauna.
That's strange. Yeah. It's cold out here.
It does. A sauna would be nice, man. Again, all this stuff I'm wondering about is that's why Denver's getting hurt. Tubs, 67% of players feel that they have enough hot tub space. They sound ridiculous when you read them. They just sound ridiculous. 96% of players feel that they have enough cold tub space. That's good. Training staff. Denver's getting a B. They're tied for 28th. See, it's again misleading. It looks like they're terrible. But a B is not bad. But they're tied for 28th. So apparently there's a lot of A pluses and A's.
Dolphins got an A plus training staff. So take that, haters.
What are the majority of... They got an A plus training staff, yes, with all the concussion stuff going on? Whoa!
The players believe the training staff significantly adds to their success.
Well, maybe they were so concussed when they did this voting. okay. I mean, what are some of the other grades you're seeing? I mean, it seems like everybody should be A's. If the Broncos are 28th in training staff and they got a B, then that tells me that everybody's like B plus and A. Everybody's freaking great.
Yeah, Dolphins finished all A's. A couple of A pluses, A in team travel, and A plus in the locker room. Their only bad grade was a C plus in family treatment.
Yeah, treat those families a little better, man. And take care of them.
And work on that.
Yeah. Locker room for the Broncos ranks 23rd. It's tied for 22nd. D plus.
Ooh.
Locker room is not good. We don't like that locker room. Not enough room. They need bigger lockers. Not enough showers. Not enough bathroom stalls. Nothing worse.
Well, I mean, if Russ is privatizing one of the showers and one of the stalls,
probably
himself,
they carved that out, and that's like, that's yours.
Hey, that's Russell's shower. Don't go in there.
You gotta have stalls in the bathrooms. Nothing worse than an open stall.
That's not as strange for me because it's a football locker room. They're all grown men.
Yeah,
they've all been doing this for years.
We'll go in number one.
I've heard stories about football locker rooms about how it's just. Everything goes.
Everything's wide open, man.
It's just another guy over there.
Team travel, Denver ranked tied for 12th. Got a B plus.
Okay.
Dolphins?
A.
Huh?
Bet you that B plus was some person was doing high knees while we were all sleeping. Completely ruined my trip.
That's what it is. Russ, you're bringing us down, man. The locker rooms are your fault. The family thing's probably your fault because we gave extra treatment to Sierra and we ignored.
Well, they gave all the passes to his family and friends.
Yeah. To all her entourage. Denver, it said 90% of players feel like they have enough room to spread out, do high knees.
Plenty of room.
No roommates. Good amount of first class seats. Good deal. And that's
no
it.
No roommates, huh? They don't like each other.
I would think that that would be kind of, maybe that's a college thing. I don't know. Do they do roommates with the Dolphins?
I don't know.
I have it all broken out here. It's very interesting. I guess that's a word for it.
87% of players feel they have enough room to spread out, no roommates, a lot of first-class seats.
They don't want roommates
at
that
age. It
feels
like a very simple survey.
Oh, yeah.
That they gave to them.
Yeah, I mean, but
it's like one of those surveys where it's like 1 through 5 and you just circle one.
Are you very happy? Somewhat happy?
Yes.
All the way happy? More bathrooms, Wilson's house or Broncos locker room?
That's a fair question.
That is a fair question, because now I'm wondering how many stalls are in there. Hmm.
I feel like Russell would have, like, a urinal, a toilet, and then a toilet with a stall.
Yeah.
He needs options.
He has all of his stuff in there. I just wonder if the Broncos get this report card now, and that only encourages them to really dive in and build a new facility.
Well, I think that's what this is kind of meant for. It's to help players make decisions, but also, hey, you guys need to step it up.
Yeah, because it doesn't sound like they have a lot of room. I mean, that's just what it sounds like. They don't got a lot of enough tub space, not enough stalls, not enough workout space. Denver might need to build a brand new freaking facility.
Did you see who the worst team was?
No.
Do you want to take a guess?
The way you're phrasing it to me right now makes me think that it's would be a very big surprise. No, it wouldn't be a surprise.
Think about organizations in turmoil.
Oh, Washington.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I figures. They're the worst facilities. That is...
Here, I will pull up their report card here.
Who's second?
I know the Vikings were 1 and the Dolphins were 2.
Hmm.
Here's the Washington Commanders report card. Treatment of families, F. Food service, nutrition, D+. Weight room, C+. Strength coaches, A+.
Hmm.
Training room, F-. Training staff, D. Locker room, F-. And team travel, F-.
Wow. Dan Snyder is a terrible human being. Like, he's not taking care of these guys at all. 18 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour, we'll talk some Colorado State with Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Coloradoan, coming up next. Don't go anywhere. It's the whole show. We're live from the Aloe Fiber Studios. I'm Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKX.
Your home for UNC basketball, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams. You're listening to the Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
The Iron Man himself, Kevin Lytle from the Fort Collins, Coloradoan. Talking all things CSU. Hey, Kevin, we got the Mount West football schedule just a few minutes ago. This worked out perfect for your segment today.
Yeah, no, I mean, pretty smart by us, I think, to intentionally shift things around so we could talk as that comes hot off the presses.
That's exactly what I was doing when I said, Kevin, can we move this thing around? I'm totally thinking about that.
We're pretty savvy.
Pretty smart when it comes to this stuff. All right, so what stands out to you? I mean, again, we kind of knew some of the matchups there, and we typically know a lot of who they're going to be facing in the Mount West, but still, what sticks out to you the most looking at this schedule? Got it in front of me, too.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the big thing is when all these matchups are. And first thing, again, we knew this, but week 2 bye is not really ideal. It means you have to play 11 straight games to end the regular season, which is not great. I guess the good news of that is it gives you a week off to prepare for CU, which obviously is going to be a big game. And then when you look at them, I think it's pretty nice balance for CSU of both sort of rotating home and road, so you don't have, you know, a series of several weeks where you have to get on a plane. And then even matchups, I think it rotates pretty well of, you know, at least our best guess of kind of winnable ones against, you know, and then some of your harder ones. You know, you start Utah State, which is, you know, probably kind of a toss-up, and then you have, you know, a really tough Boise team at home. Then you go to UNLV, which again is maybe winnable. Come back and face a tough Air Force, and you know, that's kind of a fun 2 week stretch. You have Air Force and then Wyoming, and then you have a couple straight home games, and then you head to Hawaii for Thanksgiving, which you know, not really the worst thing in the world.
Yeah, really not. I mean, yeah, you kind of like the way the end of that schedule looks out. We'll see what that ultimately looks like for CSU going into next year. Obviously, we're wanting to see this team on the improve with Jay Norvell's second season. Spring ball's not that far away. So hopefully they can start to turn this thing around next year.
Yeah, definitely. And like I said, I think it sets up that there are no sets of weeks that look, you know, clear. Disastrous, you know, 3-4 weeks in a row with toughest matchups. Hopefully, if the team loses some, you know, hit any bad losing streaks and a couple of spots in there where you think, hey, you know, maybe they can pop a couple in a row. So, yeah, overall, I think the bye is really the only in that schedule. But otherwise, I think it's pretty well set up for CSU.
Yeah, I think you're right. The bye certainly sticks out. But like you said, you got an extra week to prepare for prime time. There you go. So you can figure out how to beat those Colorado Buffaloes. So I know we're already getting excited about that. Kevin Lytle joining us of Fort Collins, Colorado. And we have the women's bracket set in the Mountain West. It's Colorado State getting that first round bye. They got the third seed overall. They'll get the winner between Boise State and Utah State, and they just beat Boise State. So we'll see how that goes. You think this Rams team can make a heck of a run so we can see them go up against what? It would work out, right, where they would end up playing yep. UNLV in the championship game.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty interesting setup. That last game, CSU could go from 3-6. That was a big game. Like you said, Rams beat Boise pretty handily. It's 15 points. It was never really in doubt. They won by 21 earlier in Boise. It will be interesting, you know, playing the same team twice, you know, in less than a week. I am just kind of giving Boise the win. Utah State's pretty terrible. And then, you know, CSU were to win that, probably, in the semifinal, which obviously would be fascinating. Wyoming is quite good, and then obviously you throw in the rivalry. And I imagine you get across from the other side. So it's well set up. I mean, you don't want to see UNLV until the final. So yeah, I think overall it's a pretty decent spot for the Rams to be in.
Yeah, well, it felt like they were just destined to for sure get there. Obviously had a couple of little bumps in the road, but for the most part they recovered nicely and they found a way to put themselves in a great spot. Number three, that's a solid spot in this bracket.
Yeah, exactly. And really there's not any difference between being the two and the three other than which color jersey you wear in the semifinal. So, yeah, I mean, they're fine right there. And, you know, McKenna Hofschild, I still think is probably the best player in the league. You know, she won't win the award because the UNLV star will. But McKenna Hofschild, if she can have a great tournament, CSU a really good chance. And then, you know, she kind of has a great number two in Destiny Thurman, you know, maybe a second foil that wasn't there last year when the Rams made the title game. So, again, it's a tough road, tough journey, but I think CSU has the pieces to make a run if they play well.
Yeah, McKenna Hofschild has been just phenomenal. Every single night, she just dominates the stat sheet, and they get big wins when she plays well, which is most of the time.
Yeah, and I think I saw earlier today the Becky Hammond Award is the best mid-major player, and somehow Hofschild is not a finalist for that, which I'm kind of wondering what that committee is doing or what they're looking at, but yeah, McKenna is absolutely one of the best players, you know, not just in the Mountain West, but across the country. So yeah, when you have a player like that, it certainly helps.
Yeah, no doubt about it. That's a fun basketball team to watch, of course, and we'll see what they can do in the tournament. As for things on the men's side, man, Kevin against San Jose State, it felt like they had so many opportunities late. Nobody was scoring. They were kind of stuck within 4 points there. They just couldn't get over the hump. And then San Jose State kind of figured it out there down the stretch, ended up winning 63-46. But it really was a lot closer than what that score tells us.
Yeah, most of that middle portion of the second, like you said, a one or two possession game. And CSU never seemed to be able to get that, you know, one big play, one big bucket, get over the hump and, you know, maybe try and build a lead. And, you know, again, I guess that kind of speaks to the season. And CSU really struggled with San Jose State, kind of their length and physicality. The offense just never got going. And, you know, normally CSU is quite efficient offensively. So Tim Miles and his crew, once again, kind of did a number on CSU.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And that's kind of interesting, too, Tim Miles doing pretty well there with San Jose State. I mean, Kevin, he potentially could be looked at for Mount West Coach of the Year. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think they'll be Air Force this weekend, and that would guarantee a top. Incredible. And I just got my ballot for the media poll. And right now, I think I have to vote Tim Miles, a program that is just so bad, so bereft of resources and fans. And to finish top five would be pretty incredible. So I certainly think he's a front runner for that. And I'll be interested to see how the coaches vote, because I think coaches around the league that San Jose is sort of a place you can't win at, and yet he is.
Yeah, and you tweeted it out, and I agree. Watching that game the other night, not a lot of people in those stands. Hell, I think UNC filled theirs out when they played on a Monday night at 9 o'clock. There was a lot more people, it seemed like, there than at San Jose State. So Tim Miles, they're going to come calling, right? I mean, there's no way he sticks around for long in this conference, or at least with the Spartans.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they had just beat Boise State, for obviously win, and playing senior day with, superstar like Amari Moore. Amari Moore is going to be in the NBA next year. And kind of no one showed up. They announced 2,000, and looking at everything from that arena, I think that's probably a generous count. So, you get, like you said, you get not just UNC, you have high school games that are drawing bigger crowds than that. So, there are a lot of things that go into coaching searches and offers and all that, but Tim Miles certainly, if he hasn't already, will be getting calls, and sooner rather than later. I kind of lean toward it being this offseason, but if not, it'll be soon. He'll be heading out for somewhere else where he has more of an ability to build a sustained winner.
In the Mountain West tournament, obviously CSU, we'll see what they can do, but I don't think a lot of people are getting their hopes up. Do you have a dark horse in this tournament, or is there, you just look at it and say, San Diego State, Boise, we'll see Utah State, or do you have somebody maybe pulling off a shock here, a little bit of an upset in this tournament?
Well, I mean, I kind of think you'll be somewhere in the Boise, San Diego State, Nevada group, but I mean, if you're looking just at seeding, I mean, New Mexico's probably going to end up the sixth seed, and that's one heck of a dangerous sixth seed. So, if you're looking for, at least based on seeding, a dark horse, that's one. I'm not sure they truly even count as a dark horse because they've been so good at times this year, but seeding wise, they are. And on a game to game basis, everyone's dangerous. Like I say, I don't think a CSU or an Air Force is going to go win the tournament. But can they beat, someone and mess up the bracket a bit? Absolutely. And, especially CSU, they kind of, like we were saying, it's the women. CSU men arguably have the best player in the league in Isaiah Stevens. So when you have that, you're dangerous. So, seeding-wise, New Mexico might be a dark horse there.
I'm with you. It seems like I've watched more New Mexico games than I remember. And every time I go in thinking, this is a really good team, and then somehow through the games I've been watching, they lose. And I don't understand how it happened.
Yeah, they're really fun, kind of erratic in what they do. But when they are on, CSU saw when they were down the pit, they can be really, really good. Can they string that together for 4 days? We'll see. That's kind of been their problem, consistency. But man, I mean, that is a dangerous team that will be fighting for their NCAA tournament lives. So, like I say, teams, the high-seeded teams won't be real eager to see number six New Mexico.
You got a great write-up on the Isaiah Stevens. I'm really suggesting folks check that out. You had, of course, David Roddy jumped in and helped you a little bit, giving some quotes, Coach Farouk Manesh. So I love that you put this together. Isaiah certainly deserves that kind of coverage. He is one of the greats. Will go down in history no matter what he decides to do at the end of the season as one of the best Rams of all time.
Yeah, absolutely. And, senior day is tomorrow. Again, it's not for certain that him and John Tonjer are gone because both could come back, but they are being honored because, better to have two senior days than none. Isaiah is absolutely one of the best players in CSU basketball history. And I had a lot of fun with that story, just talking to a bunch of people who have spent time around him, and a lot of fun stories about, kind of they mode is the thing I called it. Well, not I called it, they all call it, of sort of the intensity and determination that this kid shows, and the ways it comes out, not just in games that we all see, but sort of in the private workout type of times in the summer. some really fun stories that kind of show you why this kid is able to be as good and as special as he is. So I had a lot of fun with that. Really appreciate everyone sharing those stories because I think they really show a lot of what Isaiah Stevens is as a kid.
I think this is, I mean, I love your game coverage and your live tweet coverage of the games, but I really enjoy these stories where you sit down and you just break into the history, the background, whatever, who this person is. Those are my favorite. But there's not bad stuff out there for Mr. Kevin Lytle, though. I'll just say it.
No, and these are my favorite to do as well. And obviously going to the games is a blast, and I'm blessed to be able to do that. But getting to talk to people, talking to Isaiah's mom a couple days ago, and she's sharing stories, and obviously she's so proud of her kid, not because he's a great basketball player, but because he's a great kid, and hearing those stories. And, Ali Farouk-Manesh was literally crying, telling me stories about Isaiah and how much he means to him. Those are the things that kind of show you, the human side of this. Like, Isaiah is an awesome basketball player, and it's fun to watch him. But I think one of the reasons he's so adored here at CSU is so many people have gotten to know him as a person and kind of how unique and special a human being he is.
Yeah, I've certainly got to know him a little bit more doing the radio show. Of all the players I've done these with, and again, some great ones. I thought David Roddy was great. Ellison Hubbard was really good. Isaiah is one of the best. I mean, I joke with him, but I'm serious. I'm like, dude, if this is a route you want to go, whether that's broadcasting games or radio conversations, shows, whatever, he could go that route too. So the sky's the limit for that young dude.
Yeah, absolutely. I said this to his mom, and I can share it publicly. Of, obviously in the job, get to meet and interview and talk to, thousands of different people. And Isaiah absolutely is in, that top group of absolute favorites to just talk to no matter what it is. If it's basketball or anything else, he's just a really enjoyable person to talk to. And like I say, it's cool that he's really good at basketball and fun to watch there, but it's even better to, just have a, person like that in the community that's so just enjoyable to have around.
Well, Kevin, I'm trying to get some breaking news for us, man. I did text Isaiah, and I just said, hey, I've loved doing the show with you, man. Can't wait to do it next year. And he did not bite on that. He just sent back a winky face. So I don't know if I can take that as neither he's coming back or he's leaving. So I'm trying.
He knows how to play the game, doesn't he?
He does, man. He absolutely does. I hope he comes back for our sake, but totally for him personally, either decision he makes, I'm sure will be the right one.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, my man, Kevin. We got college hoops on tonight, so no Rams Weekly. I'm sure we'll see each other again. Just keep looking out there, man. We'll catch up at some point. I'm positive of it.
Keep a weather eye on the horizon, right?
Absolutely, man. Kevin, appreciate you, man. We'll be checking out that write-up. Great work from you, as always.
Thanks, Brady.
Kevin Lytle, Fort Collins, Colorado. And, yeah, we got college hoops on tonight. We will be carrying March Madness on this station, so we're very excited about that, because some people can't get off work and go home and watch the games. You can pipe it onto your radio, and we'll have it for you guys when you're out, when you're working, or you can come hang out with us, either way.
Yeah, and what better way to keep track of it than joining our bracket challenge?
Oh, well, Unk still hasn't got the email, or he hasn't sent you his email yet. He said, did you guys get it? And it's, dude, every text he's sending is coming through except for the email.
That wasn't the email we got earlier?
I don't think Unk is that guy.
Not that guy.
The one I sent you from
the
email thing? Mm-mm. That guy doesn't have a nickname yet. He needs a nickname.
But what do they need to do to get into this challenge?
Right now, for the rest of the show, we got 20 minutes left of the show. Just text us, 888-530-0043. I need you to text MADNESS and then your email. And tomorrow's going to be a little more complicated. We might do some trivia tomorrow to get you in. So take advantage of getting in easily today. If you want a chance to win a foursome of golf from the Eaton Country Club, we're working on swag from some of our great supporters of the station, so you don't want to miss that. But if you want in, now's the time. Shoot us a text, 888-530-0043. Text the word MADNESS along with your email, and we'll get you in. But tomorrow, it's going to get more complicated. So take advantage of the bonus time today to get into our March Madness challenge. 40 minutes after the hour, Angel, let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hi, this is Terry Fry, author, journalist, screenwriter, and you're listening to Brady Hull on The Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
It's already Thursday. Where did this week go? A lot of news, a lot of great things going on. We're excited about tomorrow's show. Isaiah Stevens, one of his last shows. Who knows? Could be the last one. Just depends on the schedule. And then at noon, the guy we did the show, the CSU basketball show with last year, is going to be on the show. At noon, we'll talk to the David Roddy. We might get Isaiah to stay in studio with us so that he can ask his guy, David Roddy, a few questions. That could be really fun.
So we're getting an NBA player on the show.
Getting an NBA player on the show.
That's really cool.
First round pick. I texted him yesterday. Still got to sell, obviously. Best friends. So it works out. Text him. Didn't hear back. Started to get sad. So I texted him later. I said, hey, dude, no pressure. I get it. You're busy. Whatever. That was more of a, a nudge. And he wrote me back. All caps. He's like, heck yeah, let's go. So we're going to be talking to him tomorrow. What's going on with Ja Morant, though? I mean, is he going to be suspended? I mean, right now they're investigating everything. But what's really happening with Ja Morant at this stage? This is kind of a scary thing for the Grizzlies for many reasons. Obviously, what he's being accused of, he's reportedly accused of repeatedly punching a teenage boy in the head, threatening him with a gun last summer. So. This is a really, I mean, you talked about this yesterday, we didn't have enough time to hit it, but according to the story from Yahoo Sports, he repeatedly, according to the accusation, repeatedly punched a teenage boy in the head and threatened him with a gun last summer. The alleged incident reportedly came 4 days after another incident in which Morant allegedly threatened the head of security at a Memphis mall. Both allegations are emerging about a month after several of Morant's acquaintances allegedly threatened and harassed Indiana Pacers staffers with a red laser. Obviously Morant's doing some, if this is all true, doing some bad stuff and then running with a bad crowd, too. In the incident involving the teenage boy, the 17-year-old reportedly told police Morant, who turned 23 last August, punched him 12 or 13 times during a pickup basketball game at the point guard's house. He claimed Morant and a friend hit him so hard it left a large knot on the side of his head, which police observed themselves. The teenager also reportedly told Shelby County Sheriff's Office detectives that after the fight, Morant went into his house and reemerged with his hand on a gun visible in the waistband of his pants. Morant reportedly told police he had been acting in self-defense, admitting, "I swung first," but believing the boy was the aggressor because he threw a ball at Morant's head, then stepped up to him, pulling up his pants. The boy, however, alleged that he was checking the ball back to Morant, who had thrown the ball hard at him first, and the ball slipped through Morant's fingers. Morant also reportedly claimed the boy shouted, "I'm going to come back and light this place up like fireworks," and filed his own police report weeks later, saying the boy threatened his family. Local prosecutors reportedly reviewed the case and declined to file charges, with a Shelby County District Attorney spokesman saying the office had decided that there was not enough evidence to proceed with the case. So where's this going to go?
So I was just doing a little research. A fake video had come out on Twitter yesterday of Adam Silver saying that Morant would be suspended indefinitely. That has since been proven false. It was a fake video with a voiceover.
One
AI
of those deep
thing.
Fake things?
Yeah.
Wow.
So as of right now, he is not suspended or no punishment has been given to him.
Oh my. So somebody did a deep fake on a report that a guy's getting suspended. What the hell are you doing?
It went viral.
And so everybody just assumed
debunked,
that.
Yep.
Oh my gosh. Be careful more than ever now. You don't just have to look out for legitimate tweets. You have to look out for legitimate videos now with this deep fake thing, which does look pretty realistic when they do it.
He did play in their last game against Houston. He did 27 minutes with 20 points.
So odds are we're expecting him tomorrow night. I wonder what's going to happen with this situation. Now, somebody, I've been seeing some of the national stuff on Ja Morant that, Shannon Sharp actually went off. He's like, stop acting like a thug. You're not a thug. He basically said all that. It's not who you are. Stop running with these people. So is he running with a bad crowd? And that would be so unfortunate if this turns his career upside down because he is such a joy to watch. Hopefully he's not this. Hopefully he's not a bad guy. Hopefully all this stuff with him isn't true. It turned out to be just some kind of crazy fight, but who knows? 48 minutes after the hour. Angel, let's jump out real quick. We'll take a break here. We'll get to what we learned from today's show on the other side. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Sean Payton, Russell Wilson. Will it work out? Here are our thoughts on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, hey, what do you say?
What did we learn on this second day of March? A few things. Some great guests on the show today. We learned from Zach Stevens not to get your hopes up about Javonte Williams starting the season. Even though George Payton's saying the right things, he said this, though. He said, pay attention to what the Broncos do in the draft, in free agency. That will tell us what they really feel as far as Javonte Williams' health going forward. We also learned that Brendan Rodgers is likely out for the season. That is a bummer. I don't care what your expectations were for the Rockies. They're better when he's on the field.
Yeah, even after he had a slow start to last season, got inconsistent at some points, but he was going to be your starting second baseman, so now somebody else has got to step up.
Mm-hmm. And we'll talk. Maybe we'll get Jerry on, talk a little bit more about that. Popeye Jones was on the program. He said, hey, we're blocking out the noise, but Malone was a little spicy today.
Malone, Harrison Wynn had tweeted out Malone at practice today, basically said they don't like that this white, unathletic Serbian guy is kicking everybody's butt, but he didn't say butt.
Malone's a little, they're getting a little pissed off over there.
I know Coach Jones said they're not disrespected, but
Jones is probably told from Malone, like, hey, assistant coaches, let me do the talking. Players, let me do the talking. I'll talk for us, though. We don't want to get this thing out of control. And then we learned the Rams football schedule came out. Mount West football schedule came out. CSU will have a bye after week one. They will have a week two bye.
Two weeks for the biggest game in the state.
Plenty of time to prepare for primetime Deion Sanders. So we'll be sure to follow along. Football spring is coming up for them. Spring football. Tomorrow, big show. The Isaiah Stevens Show. The David Roddy will get his old intro music back, too. Don't forget about that, Angel. It's going to be fun. A blast of a Friday coming up. Don't miss it. More chances to get in on our whole show annual bracket challenge. You're not going to want to miss it. We'll be back at it on a Friday. Good night, Northern Colorado.